Hello, everyone. Hi there. All right. I got at least one person saying nice, loud hi back to me. Good to see all of you who are in the room with us. Welcome. And if you're joining us online, we're so glad to have you with us today. My name is Hannah, and I'm part of our Worship Arts staff team. I'm up here with some awesome volunteers, and we are here together with you to worship God together, to learn about him, to be with one another in community as the family of God, and we're so looking forward to doing that today. So as we get started, I want to invite you to stand if you're able, and we're going to sing some songs to help us ground ourselves in the presence, the reality, the power, the love of our God. So let's sing together. Here we go. One, two, three, four. Friend Sada is going to join us and lead us in this first song.
Thank you. redeemed to sing your song once again.
Greater than we can wrap our minds around. that the creator of the universe, the one who sustains it and holds it all together, that's you, God, and that you are the same God who moves towards us in love. That you have already done so much to open a way, everything necessary for us to be in relationship with you through your son, Jesus, and what he did in his life, death, and resurrection. We praise you, God, for your love that is so great, makes a way for broken people like us to be called your sons and your daughters. I'm grateful, God. We ask that you be speaking to us, working in us, encouraging us, challenging us, whatever it is that you know we need today. Would you speak that word? Pray these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Here in the room, you can grab your seats. Hey, it's good to be together today. If we haven't met, my name is Ben, and I'm on staff with our student ministry team, middle school and high school students here at Black Hawk. If you are relatively new around here, we would love to say hello. Stop by the Next Steps area, which is going to be straight out these doors after the service. We have a small gift for you, and we would just love to meet you. And if you're joining us online, whether you're coming here from the Isthmus or the Upper Peninsula or the Canary Islands, it is good to be together today. Hey, in November and December, we are participating in a movement together as a church called Advent Conspiracy. Check this out. Yeah, you could clap for that. Did you see that number? Over $6.3 million. Are you kidding me? All that goes outside the walls of our church. I have so many fond memories personally from Advent Conspiracy, like the year that my wife and I made homemade t-shirts for my cousins, right? Like you give something different, more meaningful, give of yourself, homemade gifts sometimes, and then the financial thing is what we do together as a church. We take some of that money that we've turned our focus from the consumerism that the Christmas season has become about and turn it towards some of the things that Jesus cares about. Check out some of these organizations that this year's Advent Conspiracy offering will go to. These partners are doing fantastic work. Like, seriously, so you just read these 10 stories on our website and you just feel super encouraged about what these organizations are doing and the fact that we get to partner with them. These are groups both here locally right here in Dane County and around the world doing things in the realms of education and food security and so many other areas. So you can participate. We get to participate together in Advent Conspiracy. You can find all of this information on the website. If you want to give, you can give on the website, or you can put a check in the boxes in the back of this room here and write Advent Conspiracy on the memo line for that check if you're giving by check. Just imagine what we can accomplish together and the gifts that we'll be able to provide to partner with these awesome organizations. And there's options. There's ways for families to participate together. Check out the website. The Impact Team has done an awesome job putting all that information together for us there. And Advent Conspiracy is one of just a number of things coming up here at Blackhawk. You can find all kinds of other things on The Hub. Ta-da, there you go. So one thing coming next Sunday, el domingo que viene, tendremos un culto en español, worship in Spanish at 9 o'clock next Sunday. And then Saturday, December 7th, we're going to have Animals of Bethlehem, which just, I mean, if you want to come to church and see an alpaca. So put that on your calendar. All that information is on The Hub. With that, let me hand it off to Matt for today's message.
All right. Well, welcome, Blackhawk family, all sites, all venues. So good to have a chance to be together. If I've never met you, my name is Matt. I'm one of the pastors on the teaching team. And something that my wife and I had a chance to do not too long ago, some of you actually know about this. My wife and I, we had a chance to take kind of a special trip this fall to actually to go to England. Some of you might not know this, but my wife actually, she was born in England. She was actually a British citizen until just about 5 years ago. But we in our married life had never gone to England together to go and see her family or do anything like that. Most of her family liked coming over to the United States. But we decided to take this trip. We had a chance to go and travel some, to go and stay with some of her family, as well as I had been invited to be a part of a small pastor's gathering happening over there in England. And so part of the time while we were there, we were staying with her cousin and her cousin's husband, and they wanted to give us kind of a different type of British experience other than like just going to the typical tourist places. They are rugby fans, and so they got tickets for us to go to a Premier League rugby game to go and see their favorite rugby team, the Northampton Saints. And we were super excited about this. Rachel and I, we love sports. And so we went to the game, and they had given us some gear to wear to look like we were Northampton Saints fans. They had given me a shirt before. I'm actually wearing it right now, Northampton Saints. I bought a hat like at the team store. And so we get into this little stadium that we're at, and we're sitting there, and I feel like we look like we are part of the crowd. You know, like we are locals. And we felt that way all the way through until when kickoff started. And then we were completely clueless. You all, rugby is a weird game. So now you could be from another country and totally understand it. Or maybe you're a rugby fan here in Madison. I know that we have a rugby federation league over on in Cross Plains. And our women's national team won the bronze medal in the Olympics. So some of you might be fans. But for me, I was clueless. So this really is what we know. This is a football. And for many of us, we know this game. We watched last night as University of Wisconsin came so close. Oh, it was so close. I was so proud of our team. I mean, when you play that close with the number one team in the nation, that is saying something. And yeah, absolutely. We have guys from the team and coaches who go here, and man, I was just so proud of them. But this is the game we know. Packers playing the Badgers today at noon. And this is the game we know. For many of you, I totally said that wrong. You're like, yeah, they lost last night, now they gotta go play the Packers. It's just what happens when you lose. That was so good. Good catch. Packers playing the Bears today at noon. Thank you very much. Rewind, start again. But here's the thing. We know this game. For some of you, you have one of these in your home right now. Now, this is a rugby ball. It looks like an overinflated football where like the ends have sort of been shaved off. And my guess is that most of you do not have one of these in your home. This is a ball that it's thrown underhand. So, and guy in the front row was like, you know, so yeah. And the thing too, it can only be thrown backwards. I learned that. So it's kind of like if you remember that play that happens in a football game where like it's last shot, a couple seconds left, Hail Mary pass is not going to work. So the team just starts like throwing the ball back and forth to each other in mass hysteria. Yeah, that's kind of like rugby. And that's basically what we watch. And so we started watching this rugby game. I am telling you, I was so lost. Like from the very beginning, the other team kicked off to the Northampton Saints and they caught the ball and immediately kicked it back to the other team. Why? I have no idea. You know, and that's the way the game went. Like, I mean, and every time that someone was tackled, I mean, rugby kind of reminded me. It's sort of like if you took soccer and wrestling and the two of them came together, if they had a baby, yeah, it would be rugby. That's basically what the game looks like. And so every time that someone was tackled, it wasn't like they reset. No, they just sort of roll the ball backwards. Someone else picks it up and keeps running with it. Why? I don't know. And every time that they scored, that they got into the end zone, it was interesting. They actually have to take the ball and touch it down in the end zone. Thus, you would think that they would call that a touchdown. But no, they don't, because that makes too much sense. No, they call it a try. When you score, it's a try. Which is funny because in our country, if we're like, oh, good try, it means that you didn't score. But in rugby, it means that you did. Why? I have no idea. One of my favorite plays that I saw, this threw me, was when they are throwing the ball in from out of bounds. Yeah, you don't just bring it out on the field like you do in football. You actually throw it in like soccer from out of bounds. The team that's throwing it in, I got a picture of this, actually takes their player and hoists him up in the air higher than anyone else. I'm like, why don't we do that with our wide receivers in football? This could be a great way to go. And then there's the classic play that many of us think of when we think of rugby, if you think of rugby. It's where all the players get into this like massive like mosh pit, like a formulated mosh pit called a scrum. There is strategy in this. And then what a player does, who has the ball, they have to roll the ball through the feet of all the players, pick it up on the other side and run with it. Why? I don't know. We, needless to say, like as Rachel and I were watching this, we were so lost the entire time we were watching. We didn't know when to cheer. We didn't know what a good play was in comparison to a bad play. And we quickly found out that you don't call those what you do in the United States. Like when people saw a good play, they would say brilliant. And when they saw a bad play, it was rubbish. I think those are words that we should use more often. Maybe afterwards today, you can tell me if my sermon was brilliant or rubbish, you know, depending on how you feel about it. We were totally, totally lost. We felt like complete foreigners the entire time that we were here, that we were there. Now, why am I talking about rugby? Well, you see, we are in a series right now that we are going through called The Kingdom of God. And in this series, what we've been trying to do for everyone in our church is to be able to get us to this place of where, as Christ followers, for any of us who have placed our faith in Jesus, that we're reminded of the true kingdom that we're a part of that should supersede any other kingdom that we are a part of in this world. And today that we are supposed to, the thing that we are supposed to talk about is the ethics of the kingdom of God. In other words, like if ethics isn't a word you use very often, like you could think of it as virtues or principles, moral principles that we try to live our life by that should affect the way that we live. And the thing that we understand is that when we look at the kingdom of God in comparison to the kingdom of this world, it's as if the set of rules that we have are completely different from each other. And for so many of us, we know the kingdom of the world that we live in. But oftentimes the thing that we find is that to people who live in the kingdom of the world, they look at the ethics of the kingdom of God. And just like rugby, for so many of us here in the United States, like the rules make no sense. To a person who lives in the kingdom of the world, looks at the kingdom of God, they would go, the rules that you live by, the ethics, they make no sense. And so the reality for that, that we have to look at as Christ followers is, what does it mean to live by the ethics of the kingdom of God? What are they? And why would we choose to live by them? Like, in other words, like, what's the benefit for us in the way that we live our lives? That's what we're going to talk about. And so much of that has to do with a concept that we know of here in the world that we live in. It all is based around a concept of what we would call freedom. There's actually a passage of scripture that we're gonna look at that really encapsulates this idea of what it means to live as free people. So if you've got your Bibles, if you have a way that you take in scripture on, you know, some device you have, or if you brought your paper Bible, we're gonna take a look at Galatians 5 for just a minute. Galatians 5. Galatians 5, starting with verse 13. And the Apostle Paul is writing this letter to the church in Galatia. And in it, he says this: "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself." Okay, now you might notice here, first thing out of the gate, you were called to be free. But the kingdom of the world and the kingdom of God have two very different ways that they look at that concept of freedom. Okay, so let's start off for a minute by taking a look at the idea of what the world has to say about the concept of freedom. And when I talk about this, I'm really, to be honest, talking about it like from the lens of those of us who live in the Western world, in the United States of America. So I know that for everyone watching, you're not all in the United States right now. Many people at our sites and venues, you might not be US citizens, but we're living here at this time to where I think you'll get the concept. And for those of us who are American citizens, I mean, we know that one of the highest virtues, one of the highest ethics that we live by, really, if not the highest, is freedom. Like when sociologists, when they study our country, they say that, man, people in the Western world, in the United States, they are all about freedom. We love our freedom. It's in our national anthem at the end: the land of the free and the home of the brave. And here's the thing, I think that if we all got really honest, like, we're grateful for the freedoms that we're able to live in, aren't we? I mean, there are all kinds of people who are a part of our church who have or who are serving in the military to defend the freedoms that we get to live in. We're grateful for those people. You know, the freedoms that we live in, we can so easily take those things for granted. I mean, if you stop to think about it, all of us here, all sites, all venues, everyone watching, regardless if you're at home or wherever you are, like, we're doing what we are doing right now because of the freedoms that we have in this country to be able to worship God the way that we would want to. There are millions of people around the country who cannot do what it is that we are doing. I mean, we are grateful for those freedoms that we have. And the freedom that this country is based upon is one that says that you're free to choose to make decisions for your own life. The place that we end up taking it to is this place where we believe that freedom that we have gives us the right to say, I can do what I want, when I want, however I want, because I'm free to make those decisions. But the reality is, if we really start to unpack that in this world, is everything that comes from that idea, I can do what I want, when I want, however I want, is everything that comes from that actually good? Because the thing that we find in the world is that what actually can take place is if we're not careful, we can begin to abuse those freedoms. Now the thing is, when we think about that, I can do what I want, when I want, however I want, well, based upon what? Making sure that I don't hurt another person. In other words, if I can do whatever I want, as long as I'm not hurting anyone else. But is that really the highest ethic that we want to live our lives by? Like when you get to the end of your life, if you say, yeah, I did whatever I wanted and I didn't hurt anybody, like that just sort of feels like a low bar. Like, is that really all that you want your life to be about? And the thing is even if we try that, the reality is in the freedoms that we have, we can so abuse those to such an easy way. And when we abuse our freedoms, the thing that happens is we end up hurting ourselves and we end up hurting other people around us. And this can happen in really, I mean, small or large ways. Like I fall into this. Like for instance, like I'm a Netflix fan, all sites, venues. How many of you have Netflix? Yeah, there's a decent amount of people. And so I'm kind of a sports documentary junkie, and a new sports documentary will drop. And all of a sudden I look at it and I've got like 8 to 10 episodes, commercial free, that I can watch whenever I want. And I like that because I like the freedom that it gives me. But I have been known on occasion to potentially find myself on the backside of a 5-hour sports documentary binge, you know, of watching 6 episodes of some particular show. And as I get to the end of that period of time where I've been laying on the couch, like I kind of get done with it and I feel a little gross. Like I feel sort of like, I'm not so sure that was maybe the best decision. Probably wasn't, I mean, like when my girls were living at home, probably wasn't the best thing for my family. Probably wasn't the best thing for my health, considering all the snacks that I took in as I was watching the show while laying dormant on a couch for 5 hours. And here's the thing, that's a fun example. But the reality is that the abuse of the freedoms that we have in our country, well, let's be honest. I mean, it's moved towards all kinds of damage in people's lives. I mean, from everything from like compulsive shopping to debt, to fraud, to racism, obesity, environmental damage, adultery, divorce, bullying, and all kinds of addiction, regardless if you want to talk about everything from gambling to porn. Here's the thing, we could probably all tell stories of people who we know who have in some way abused freedoms that they had, that they felt like they were free to make decisions on, that where it did damage to themselves or to other people around them. Okay, let's get real honest. For a lot of us here, myself included, my wife included, she gave me freedom to say that. Like, we've been those people who have abused our freedoms and ended up doing damage to ourselves and to other people. So if you're one of those people right now thinking of that type of stuff, one, welcome to the club. And two, welcome to Black Hawk Church. We're really glad that you're here. Because our hope is that for all of us, that we would be able to find a place of where we experience the acceptance of God, the grace and mercy and forgiveness of God, that moves us towards a place of real life transformation. And I think the thing that you would find is if we could all, at all of our sites and venues, everyone watching online, if we could all actually be open about these things, I think we would find that a lot of us have more in common when it comes to these things than we are willing to say out loud. My goal right now in bringing this up isn't to try to lay some type of guilt trip here at church, but it's really to try to help us to see the pitfalls that we can so easily fall into if we just buy into the world's perspective of freedom. Because the world's perspective of freedom is one that says, I can do whatever I want, however I want, whenever I want. But in that freedom, we actually over time can easily find ourselves enslaved to the things that we thought that we were free to do. That's the world's perspective of freedom. But here's the thing, we're not just here to talk about the world's perspective of freedom. We want to talk about the perspective, in other words, the playbook, if you will, of the kingdom of God. And what I want to do in order to look at that is to actually go back to that passage again, Galatians 5, to understand more of what it was that Paul was talking about. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. This, if we can leave this up for a minute, this is a powerful passage of scripture. Like, because what Paul is painting here is actually, like, when it comes to the idea, it's the opposite of the freedom that we hear about sold to us when it comes to the world. Like, it's a completely different perspective. Like, Paul is saying here, look, you have freedom, but use your freedom for the good of other people. Use your freedom as an opportunity to be able to serve one another humbly in love. Use your freedom to be able to love your neighbor as yourself. You see, like, when it comes down to it, in the kingdom of God, in the ethic that we gather from it, the greatest thing is love. And Paul is saying here in this passage, you need to understand that you have been given freedom so that in turn you can love people fully. But that whole perspective, man, it's as different as football and rugby. It's a completely different ethic in the way that we look at the playbook of life, the playbook of the world in comparison to the playbook of the kingdom of God. And Jesus wanted his followers actually to understand this whole idea. He wanted them to be able to pick up when he was walking the planet, the difference in these two worlds. And so there's a famous sermon that is talked about in scripture, a message that Jesus gave called the Sermon on the Mount, found in Matthew chapter 5. And in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus has this time where he is talking about sort of like the kingdom of the world in comparison to the kingdom of God. He has these statements. He says back and forth over and over, you have heard that it was said. And then he says, but I tell you. Here's an example of it right here. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. Really? I thought that we were supposed to be able to live off of the rights that I had. He goes on to say this, you have heard that it was said, love your neighbor, and hate your enemy, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. You see, to the people who were listening to Jesus as he said these things, this would have felt like an over-the-top kind of a statement that Jesus was saying. Honestly, to us in today's day and age, in the cancel culture that we live in, this can feel over the top. What about my rights? What about my freedom to be able to do something different? Because it sounds like, Jesus, like you were talking about that I'm supposed to restrict those things in order to be able to love people well. Exactly. You see, when we start to understand this perspective of restriction in order to love people well, man, it changes the perspective of the way that we even see a really famous passage of scripture that talks about the concept of love. 1 Corinthians 13, it's a passage that's used in weddings all around the country, even though I don't think that when Paul was talking about this, that he was talking about a bride and groom. It went much deeper than that. And when we look at this from the concept of this idea of the way that we are to restrict ourselves in order to love people differently, it changes our thought process. It takes it deeper when it says love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it's not proud, it does not dishonor others, it's not self-seeking, it's not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. You see, When we look at a passage like this and we begin to realize the depth of the ramifications that it means for us and the way that we're to live, it's a game changer. This is why Paul in Galatians 5 is saying, love one another humbly. Use your freedom to serve each other, because the goal should be to love your neighbor as yourself. Like, it's a love through serving each other this way that requires that I restrict my rights, I restrict my privileges, I restrict the way that I spend my money, the way I spend my time, the way I spend my energy. I restrict my desires for the sake of others. You know, there's an author, podcaster, speaker who is fairly popular in today's day and age named John Mark Comer. He's written many different books. Some of you may have read. There's a book that he wrote actually called Live No Lies, which really helped me actually. I would highly recommend it. It helped me greatly in working on this sermon. But he encapsulates this passage of Galatians chapter 5, trying to put it into modern day language. And he says this: don't abuse your newfound freedom. Don't give in to your disordered desires. Instead, give yourself over to the relational constraints of love. I love the way that he says that. Give yourself over to the relational constraints of love. You know, what's interesting to think about is that actually human beings are the only animals who are actually able to do that. We are the only species who is able to override our regular desires for the sake of giving towards and sacrificing for the common good. Like, if you ever see like a video of like a fox that's about to like catch and eat a chicken, like you don't see that fox debating in its mind whether or not it's making a wise decision. Like, the fox is not sitting there going, do I have other options right now? Like, is this a good decision? I wonder how eating this chicken is going to affect the chicken's family. You know, no. For a fox, it's see chicken, want chicken, eat chicken. Which sounds kind of like a strange Chick-fil-A ad, but it's different than that. Because Chick-fil-A actually doesn't sell their chicken that way, because they know that we're people who make decisions. So like, when I go to Chick-fil-A, they don't just hand me a chicken. No, they actually show me a menu where I have the chance to make decisions, to where I can look at a menu and I can say, yeah, the original sandwich with fries and a soda sounds really good today. I'll go for that. Or I can make a different decision. I can say, no, today I think I'll have the mac and cheese with a kale crunch salad. You know, and all of that decision is based upon all kinds of things that we weigh out. How expensive is it? How environmentally sustainable? How's it going to make me feel after? Ooh, what would the person who I am having lunch with think about me as I am eating this meal? You see, we have, like an animal is never weighing those things out. We have the ability and freedom to be able to make decisions. But here's the thing: when we abuse our freedoms, we negate love, which is the reason why John Mark Comer, and in Galatians 5, the words that they're saying is, give yourself over to the relational constraints of loving other people well. We do this in our lives without even realizing it. Like, for most of you, at all sites and venues, you drove here today, you got here in a car. You know that we live by all kinds of restraints in the way that we drive. Like, we drive on the right side of the road. We stop at traffic signals. We try to obey the signs and the speed limit. And think about if no one did that. It would be mass chaos. No one would want to drive. Like, think about the idea. So I'm here at our Brader Way location today. Let's say that I was trying to get to you all at Fitchburg or you all at downtown, and I decided that the best way to do that was just simply to draw a straight line on a map and to drive that straight line. That would not go over well. You know, I would do all kinds of damage to people's properties and fences. I would do all kinds of damage to my car. No. But see, I live in the restrictions of the roads that are created, and the speed limit and the laws of the road. And the thing that I find is that I live in those things, I actually find greater freedom to be able to commute to where I need to go. You see, The picture that's being painted in Scripture, the thing that God would want us to understand is that when we are people who buy into the idea of restricting ourselves, that I don't have to just give in to my desires. I am not a slave just to things that I want, but I give myself over to restricting myself in order to love other people well. The thing that I actually find in that, well, it's greater freedom. It's a different type of freedom that supersedes what the world offers us, but it's a different playbook. It's a different set of rules that the world looks at and doesn't understand. It's like the difference between American football and rugby. Let me see if I can play this out for just a minute, just to kind of give like some regular everyday examples of what this could look like to us. Like in real life, like to a college student, we got all kinds of college students who attend our church downtown, our different sites and venues. A college student every week, every weekend, is invited into this party hookup culture. And really, the playbook of the world would say, you're free to do what you want. You know, and so drink whatever you want, smoke whatever you want, hook up with whoever you want. The playbook of the kingdom of God, though, would say, no, restrict those things. For the sake of being able to be fully present with the people that you are out with, for the sake of the relationships that you have now in your life, for the sake of the relationships that you hope to have someday, restrict those things so that you bring less baggage into the relationships that you'll head into someday. It's the person who finds themselves traveling because of work and they're staying in a hotel room. And out there in that hotel room, they have access to be able to look at anything they want on a screen. You see, the playbook of the world would say, you're free to do whatever you want. Grab your screen, whatever you feel like looking at, porn, whatever. You have rights to be able to do that. The playbook of the kingdom of God would say, no, restrict your desires. For the sake of relationships that you are in right now, for the sake of relationships you want to be in someday. Because when we enter into that world, it twists our understanding of humanity and behavior. It could be the person who is heading out with some friends for an evening. And they know that one of the people who they're going out with has struggled with alcoholism in the past. Or they have a friend who's just not comfortable with really being around drinking all that much. The freedom or the playbook of the world would say, you're free to do what you want. Have a drink. Grab that margarita. You know, your life is your life and their life is their life. And they need to put their pieces together. The playbook of the kingdom of God would say, no, restrict yourself. Maybe skip that margarita that evening for the sake of loving the people who you are out with well. It could be the person who is on social media and reading things that friends post or some other author that you might disagree with. The playbook of the world would say you have the freedom to be able to write back or comment whatever it is that you want to say. You have freedom to do that. Heck, our country is built on free speech. So whatever you want to say, however scathing it is, in order for you to be able to have the last word and win the argument, go for it. Playbook of the kingdom of God would say, no, restrict your desire to want to do that. And love people well, even if you don't know them, even if you don't agree with them. For this, give up your rights to have the last word and win the argument for the sake of loving people well. You know, if we really think about it, that's not just on social media. That could be coming up in the next couple weeks at Thanksgiving with your family who think different than you. Lord Jesus, be with us. You know, Christmas is coming up. Only 38 days left of shopping, people. The playbook of the world would say, buy whatever it is that you want for Christmas. Whatever it is that's going to make you happy, regardless if you have the money for it or not. Playbook of the kingdom of God would say, no, buy less. Give away more. Because when we do that, it releases this grip that we feel from consumerism and materialism. Be willing to give towards people who might not have as much as you do. Be generous with what you have and make it less about yourself. You see, that's the reason why all sites and venues, we've been talking about Advent Conspiracy today. It's because the desire of that, and it's amazing to think, this is the 16th year our church has been involved with Advent Conspiracy. And as we have been involved with that, it's incredible to think we've had the chance to collectively give over $6 million to different ministries and organizations and nonprofits, not just here in this city and around the nation, but around the world. I had the chance when I was in England actually to spend time with one of the founders of Advent Conspiracy, a man named Greg Holder. And he with the other two pastors who started it wrote this book, Advent Conspiracy. You might want to pick it up during this season. He said one of the reasons why they did it, as I was having lunch with him one day, was to try to release this grip that the world has on us when it comes to this idea of consumerism and materialism. See, here's the big picture. Two different playbooks that we're being offered. Two different ethics of the way that we're supposed to look at the world. The world offers an ethic that shows us freedom, but the way it defines freedom, actually, when it is abused, can so easily turn into slavery. But the kingdom of God is calling us to a kind of restriction that actually leads to true freedom. For some of you today, you might be sitting here and going, Matt, that's interesting, but I'm not sure I get it. And I got all kinds of questions. Man, here's one thing I want you to know. Here at Blackhawk, man, you can bring your questions. We would love to hear them. When I was at that rugby match, one of the best things about being at that match was being there with family who were sitting on other sides, on both sides of me and Rachel, that were able to explain the game so we could ask whatever questions of the mass chaos that we were watching and try to understand it better. I just want you to know, if you're in that place where you've got all kinds of questions, our site pastors, our hosts, you know, the different people on worship teams, the people at Next Steps at all of our different places, man, they would love nothing more than to be able to try to answer the questions that you have. You're in a safe place to do that. Look, the world is offering us a freedom that moves towards enslavement. But God loves us to such a great level that he says, I want you to be people who learn what it looks like to restrict yourselves from the freedom that I have blessed you with, to be able to use that freedom, not just for yourself, but for the sake of loving others. You don't have to give in to all your desires. You're free to make a different type of decision for the good of other people. And in doing so, you will find true freedom. Let me pray for us. Lord God, thank you so much for the freedom that you give us. Would you help us, Father, to be able to live in the restraints of true freedom, that we might be able to be people who restrict ourselves for the sake of loving others well. God, I pray for people who are listening right now who might be in that place where they feel enslaved to some area. Would they feel your presence, and would you help them to see ways out that they might get to a place of finding true freedom? And God, for all of us with the places that we struggle with this, would you help us to understand your kingdom ethic that we might live to be the people you desire for us to be? We pray all these things in God's name, and all people together said, amen. Thank you.
a people of God, we are now free because of Jesus to restrain ourselves in the name of love. What a strange kingdom. I love it. Praise God. Hey, if you are new, stop by the Next Steps. We would love to say hello, give you a small gift. And if you would like to receive prayer, there will be a number of us up at the front. We would love to pray with you after the service. We end our services with a benediction, which just means good word. And today's good word comes from 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 17. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. All God's people said, amen. Have a great week.